Let us pray. Lord, thank you for spring. Thank you for all your creation. Help us now think deeper about it as we reflect on your word. In Christ's name, amen. John, could I have the next slide, please? In the 1980s, the American astronomer Carl Sagan, in one segment of his astronomy series, Cosmos, talked about the Milky Way. And he showed a giant photograph of the galaxy saying, "You probably imagine we're right in the center, but no, we're right out here in the corner. And what we call the sun is just one little sun among billions of suns in this one galaxy. And then there are billions of galaxies." Well, just thinking about that makes our heads whirl and see ourselves and our world in a new perspective. In my childhood, when I was introduced to the idea of how big our universe is, my mind boggled and I felt so overwhelmed and fearful. The idea of space travel seemed incredibly dangerous and terrifying. I think today, though, this is no new news. We're accustomed to the thought, and by and large, we do not think about it. But emotionally, I was reading how we human beings, when feeling overwhelmed by the big issues of our world, let alone the universe, we are more likely to put more thought and energy into our own local issues where we actually feel in control. Yet we get frustrated when we find we're not in control. And strangely, then looking at the vastness of the ocean or an immense mountain range or some other aspect of creation that just is, our issues become small and dissolve. That it's like, well, so what? Or why is this a big deal in the big scheme of things? In Job chapter 38, God appears in a whirlwind and charges Job with dozens of questions in each of these areas. Do you know the sources from which the universe began? Do you understand the systems upon which the earth depends? Do you appreciate the specialty by which animals are distinguished? Well, I imagine God quite approved of Carl Sagan's series of the cosmos. Thanks, John. Next one. But while the total universe may be overwhelming, Earth, our planet, is familiar, is home. Even in the last century, when we got to see what it looked like from out of space for the first time, we were mesmerised. Astronauts marvelled how beautiful the green and blue planet suspended in space was, and calling that our home. In Genesis 1, God draws Earth out of the chaos by putting in order the light and the darkness, dividing the waters into sea and sky, and then dividing the sea and the land. And then God calls on Earth to be a co-creator. And this is an interesting insight in that Earth is summoned to bring forth vegetation. God does not say, "Let there be plants and trees and flowers." God says, "Let the earth put forth vegetation." God works with earth as a mediator from whom all plant life appears. Earth is a physical source of life. In verses 14 to 19 is the description of the origins and function of the sun, moon, and stars. Why are they created? To make the sky beautiful? Well, actually, much more than that. The lights in the sky are for the benefit of the earth. Earth continues to be a character in this story, this poem. the sky creatures are to give light upon earth and thereby separate the light from the darkness on earth. And they also provide the seasons needed for the cycles of life for both fauna and flora of earth. On day six, God does not say, "Let there be animals and reptiles." Rather, God again speaks to earth and asks earth to bring forth life, animal life. Earth is like a mother from whom all life emerges at the impulse of God's word. So earth is a key character in the story of Genesis 1, a character who first comes forth from the waters and then brings forth life. But when we come to humankind, it seems God personally creates humankind in God's own image. Though in Genesis 2, where we have the creation story retold, God fashions humankind from the earth, the dust of the ground, as God did likewise with all the living creatures. But like with earth in the first chapter, God blessed and charged humankind, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over every living thing. See what I have given you." So after creating earth in this most beautiful, life-giving way, God gifts earth to humankind to dwell in and flourish. Yet God's own connection with creation remains. The first chapter of John's Gospel connects Christ with creation in a most spectacular way. John informs us that all of creation, including planet Earth, is the result of the impulse of the Word from God. And that Word is here identified with God. That Word which precedes creation is the impulse to create everything, whether it be the physical world or the unseen worlds. In verse 14 of John 1, the climax of this chapter is that the eternal Word, who precedes creation, then becomes part of creation. This Word, this very God who brought earth into being, becomes part of earth as flesh and blood. And so the earth story continues. God becomes part of earth to redeem the creatures of the earth. The dwelling of God in this piece of earth, whom we know as Jesus, is described using the language from the Old Testament of God's glory dwelling in the tabernacle in the wilderness. That glory or presence of God is now revealed to be present in a human being, a part of earth. Through the Old and New Testaments, God's commitment to his creation, not just humankind, but the whole of creation, is confirmed. In Revelation, St. John hears every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, giving God blessing and honour, glory and might forever and ever. And finally, John sees a new heaven and a new earth, and the Bible ends with a new garden, complete with the river of life-giving water and the tree of life. While we human beings appear small and insignificant when compared with the size of our planet, yet the role God put us in Genesis 1, has allowed us to change the very face and future of our planet. The reaction of wonder we had when we first saw planet Earth from the space is now being replaced with anxiety as we are shown what is happening to our fragile home. A NASA photograph has shown that the image of our planet is changing. The Arctic ice cap is shrinking. So up here, you see from 1980 to 2012, scientists predict that within a century, the Arctic region may be ice-free, Of course, such shrinking has repercussions for the whole planet. The face of our fragile planet is changing. And this is where we realize that not only ourselves, but all of creation needs redemption. All creation, creatures, and humankind are connected in sin and in redemption. The Spirit of God works within us and among us in the redeeming process, and our role on earth has not changed. The redeeming process for creation is also part of our call. All creatures, everything in the universe, is there at the beginning of the Bible and at the end. And the intention of God in bringing forth creation and in bringing forth humankind in God's image remains. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Word of God in human flesh, help us to appreciate the amazing act of God in becoming a part of this planet for us, and lead us to love this fragile home just as you have loved us. Amen.